Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But it's about souls. We're talking about trumpets. This is what it's not about. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms," when you give, when you do good things, etc., "do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." There's a trumpet. We need to sound it, but it's to win souls and to warn them. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, etc. It's not to say, "Hey, look at me. Look how good I am. I'm a good Christian." No, it's not it. It's not about religion. It's not about self-righteousness. But it's about souls and what Jesus did to pay for their ransom. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7 through 9, I suppose. "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, O man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, his sin, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it," which is what the word repent means, if you're walking in sin, stop, turn around, walk the other way, turn from your wicked ways. "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." We have a great commission. We have an injunction from the Lord to preach the gospel and try to win souls. The pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says that it was like fire come out of heaven and descended upon the disciples, and they should have locked them up. I guess they were speaking in tongues and acting a fool, I suppose. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power," that pillar of fire, "by night and cloud by day." And you can't see it, but it's there. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." The Spirit of God comes to rest upon the Christian that yields to God, comes to rest upon the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, whatever, that is trying to do something for God. Again, to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's our duty to win the lost and to participate in missions work and whatever. Maybe even to go across the street or tell somebody while you're sitting there eating lunch at school or whatever. Tell somebody about Jesus. It's our duty to do so. And again, the pillar of fire by night and cloud by day, it rests in you. It rests upon you. The power of God is there. So what does it say? That you'd be remembered before the Lord your God and be saved from your enemies. And also, when you go on the offense to tell people about God, that rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. That's what it's about. I love to shout, love to sing. I speak in tongues. Fantastic, great, but it's about winning lost souls. It's always been about that. It's always going to be about is winning lost souls. But this trumpet, let's look at another passage in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, start at verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump or trumpet." For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The resurrection's going to occur soon. The resurrection, and you say, crazy preacher, what are you talking about? Well, Jesus is coming back. It's a fact. Whether you like it or not, believe it or not, he's coming back, and he's going to raise the dead. He's going to raise the dead, but there's going to be a trumpet, and I can get too bogged down in all the order of it, what have you, but the rapture's going to occur. The trumpet shall sound, and I'm going to go up. If I'm still on earth, I'm going to be changed and rise on up to heaven. If I'm in the grave by that time, I'm going to rise up from the dead, be changed, and I'm going up. You want to stay down here? Have fun. Say hello to the Antichrist for me. But it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We have victory over death. We have victory over the sin nature. We have victory over the mundane. We have victory. Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. The disciples understood that. They didn't understand it first. Thought he was a gardener, thought, you know, where have you laid him, etc., and whatever. But they figured out that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and went to preach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they evangelized the known world in their lifetime. And now, obviously, the known world has expanded, etc. We talk about various tribes in Africa or maybe the Polynesian Sea or whatever. We need to go everywhere to win the lost. Okay, find the calling of the assembly. Let's look at the journeying of the camps. And again, we're studying, just to make sure you understand, we're studying the tabernacle. We're talking about the last piece of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua chapter 3, verse 9, starting there. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Isn't that what preachers do? Hey, y'all come, let's hear what Jesus has to say. Got a message from him, prayed through, and he gave me this passage or that. To gather and hear the preaching of the word of God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. All these tribes you can read. That's exactly what he did. You can read their victories, their failures, whatever. You can start in the Pentateuch, and then you can go on to Joshua and Judges, and you can see all of these things. You can read about the various tribes, etc., and how they were defeated, or etc. Behold the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. He is the Lord of all the earth. Behold the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. There was the Jordan River, and they needed to go in. Now therefore take of you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And I could take time and talk about Gilgal and what that means, and that's another sermon. Maybe we'll get to it one day. But in verse 13, it shall come to pass that as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. In other words, when they crossed the Red Sea coming out of Egypt, Moses took his staff or whatever the deal was, and the wind began to blow all that night, and when they woke up in the morning, there was a path through the Red Sea. We know the story. We've seen the movie, Ten Commandments. We understand that the Jews went through that. They made it to the other side. They went through water. They went through a sea, Red Sea. No way you could do that, but God made a way. Well, that's what it's referring to. But they're coming around the other side, coming into the land of Israel from the east, crossing the river Jordan. How are you going to cross a river? And matter of fact, it says, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of the harvest. It was like the Mississippi River. The Mississippi River is normally a mile wide. Jordan ain't all that big, but when it overflows, it's about a mile wide. And it's a flowing river, and there's no way they could do that. But he said that when the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and remember, they're being led by the Spirit of God, they're being led by that cloud by day and fire by night. Jesus is leading us, in other words, by his Spirit. When the priests who were carrying that Ark, they put their feet into the river, again, flood stage, trees floating on a river, or whatever the deal is, when they put their feet, the waters will stop. Downstream will flow away. Upstream stops and just heaps up. Just the water just piles up. That's a miracle, just like the Red Sea. And the people were able to walk in. They were able to enter the land that God had promised them, the promised land, the land of Canaan, what have you. And that's where the Jews are today. Thank God that he restored them to that position, 1948 and all that stuff. But we understand when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. We understand it. Thank God for it. We understand when Jesus died for our sins. Thank God for it. But that is a long time ago. And here in the book of Joshua, the Red Sea was a long time ago. But God hadn't forgotten what he did. 2,000 years after Jesus, well, he hadn't forgotten. He is still able to save. He is still able to deliver today's problems, drug addiction, crack, what have you. God is still able to deliver. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, because Jesus hadn't forgotten how to heal the sick. You call upon him in faith. God is able to reach his hand down 2,000 years later and heal the sick. He's able to do it. Again, this crossing of the Jordan looks back to the Red Sea. But also, and I mentioned this, Jesus went to the cross. Again, 2,000 years ago. But he says, follow me. And if you follow me, you need to take up your own cross and bear it. When Jesus went to the cross, remember, he died on it. He says for us to take up our crosses and not physically die, but spiritually die. The things that are important to us. So I want to sit here and watch this television program. We say, well, no, you got other things that are more important to go do. You need to lay aside the things you want to do and do what God wants you to do, to take up your cross and to bear it. And if you stand on a street corner and try to witness to folks or whatever, or you want to talk to your neighbor at lunch, like I said earlier, they may make fun of you. Well, Jesus, they made fun of him. Take up your own cross and bear it. But Jordan means something else. It means death. And I'm not going to take the time to talk about Gilgal. Not going to make the time to talk about in 2 Kings where the prophet Elijah, and I've taught this sermon, I won't go back over it again, but it talks about death. And we understand that one day we're going to die. But on the other side is heaven. We're on our way to heaven. That's what crossing the Jordan also refers to. It's a fact. Jesus is coming back. It's a fact that he's going to remake the heaven and earth. It's a fact that there's going to be streets of gold. And it's a fact Joey Kelly's going to walk on them. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm so glad to be a Christian. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Strange language, I suppose, but it says, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. What he did back then, he can do today, and he can do tomorrow. There's a passage that talks about the sun shining in its strength. In other words, noon. If it's 8 o'clock in the morning, you got a shadow. If it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you got a shadow pointing the other way. We understand that. But it says that God, He doesn't have any variableness or shadow of turning. It says God is always at high noon. God is always at high noon. He's always all-powerful. He's always all-knowing, etc. What He did before, He can do today, and He can do forever. There's some churches, denominations, schools of thought that say, well, God doesn't heal anymore today, brother. Well, He does, because He's the same yesterday and today. Never forget it, and He's going to be the same tomorrow. If He healed a leper back then, He can heal him today. If He healed somebody that's blind, He can heal him today. He can heal him tomorrow. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Matthew chapter 28, talk about the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, He says He's the Lord of the whole earth, it's, we just read. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay, that's great. Let's sit down and think about that, I guess. But He says, therefore, go ye and teach all nations. I rose from the dead. Top that. I mean, pick your biggest trouble. Pick your worst day. It wasn't in the grave and, ooh, wow, I came out of it. Got any problems? Look to Jesus. But since I did rise from the dead, and since all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and since you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost to fulfill Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to go preach the gospel, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Just as back when we're studying in Joshua, God was with them to open the River Jordan at flood stage, and they walked on dry land. He's still with us. Just as we said in Numbers chapter 10 that the Spirit of God by the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night was on that ark. And when it rested, it was on the ark being in the tabernacle. It rested upon the tabernacle. God was with them the whole 40 years they was in the desert. He says, lo, I'm with you always, the same way, the same thing. You can't see it. We walk by faith and not by sight, but the Spirit of God comes out of heaven and rests upon our souls. We understand that we're indwelt by the Spirit. We understand that Paul said, know ye not that you're the temple of God, for the Spirit of God dwells within you. But in Matthew chapter 4:19, he says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Let's go out and win the lost. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, a little pebble in the Greek, and upon this rock, Jesus Christ, Petra, a great mountain, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Again, that's offensive. We have to go out and win the lost. Go to the highways and byways and compel them to come in. But Jesus is with us. Just as in Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10, He sent out the 12 and in the 70 others also. They raised the dead, cast out devils, all that stuff. Well, you know, this is 21st century, brother. We understand that stuff's not real. Well, yeah, it is. And we understand all of our so-called knowledge to the contrary, that there's still sick people. People still die. And Jesus Christ can still heal the sick. He can still raise the dead. Crazy preacher. Don't know what he's talking about. Well, yeah, I do. I know what I'm talking about. Because I believe the book. Though none go with me, yet will I follow. No turning back. no turning back. Matthew chapter 14, I won't read it, I'll just tell the story, but it says that the fourth hour of the night, they were trying to get to the other side and in the boat and having trouble and whatever, and Jesus came walking on the sea. And they were afraid and etc. and you know, etc. And we had, I guess last year at the Bible conference, Brother Hancock preached about getting out of your boat, etc. Well, that's exactly this passage. Lord, Peter said, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And we understand that Jesus said, hey, it's me, come on. And Peter jumped out of the boat and walked on the water. And we understand the rest of the story, that he kind of got to looking at the water and forgot about Jesus and was quickly reminded he needed to say, hey, Jesus, come help. He started to sink. What about the other disciples in the boat? What about in that boat, maybe it's this time or the other one, that they had just finished feeding the 5,000 and he said, gather up the fragments that are there, and he got 12 baskets full. They had to kick to get out of the way, to row, etc. Well, man, that was a miracle on land. Why can't we expect a miracle on the sea? Well, Peter did trust. He did get out of the boat. Thank God. You know, Jesus still walks on water today. You get in a jam, he can help you. You get in a jam and you trust him, he'll say, come on. And you can walk above your circumstances. And again, water, it goes back to the Red Sea, it goes back to the Jordan, etc. I understand all of that. Many, many symbols in the Word of God. But he said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Matthew chapter 17, starting at verse 14. There was a man, he was a lunatic, crazy, whatever. Lord, have mercy on my son, etc. Will you do this? Will you help me? You know, trips and falls into the fire and don't know because he's having an epileptic seizure or whatever. And he falls into the Y and he got rid of the dry and he don't know because he's, you know. Well, what are you going to do? You know, I brought him to the disciples and they prayed and he ain't got no better. Sorry for talking like a coon ass. I guess it just kind of falls in that way. And Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? Just like he said in the passage above, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Again, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and hey, I rose from the dead to prove it. Why are you doubting? Everything he said in the Bible, you can have in your life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no difference except technology and iPhones and all of that stuff. So we have all that. That's fine. And we, you know, believe evolution and we, you know, all these, well, whatever. I don't care about that. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed the sick back then, he can heal them today, regardless of what the doctors and the lawyers and the naysayers say. He can still do it. Trust him. Well, brother, you don't understand. Well, maybe, brother, you don't understand. Book's true. Believe it. And again, to close out, it says that the disciples were asking, well, how come we couldn't cast out this devil? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say, truly I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. Hey, mountain, go over there instead. And it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible to you. Well, that's impossible. That can't happen. Well, oh well, too bad. He rose from the dead. Deal with it. Why don't you believe it? You know, in certain places, circumstances, where people really have actual needs, not like, well, I need to go to the store to get some more milk. Well, it's, no, I mean people in dire circumstances in third world countries that say, I'd really like to eat today. Real needs. Missionaries that believe the Word of God, there are still people that are raised from the dead. There are still people that have miracles take place in their life. Because back In those places, the need is great and the people believe. And it says, nothing shall be impossible unto you. And not, I'm going to confess a Cadillac. No, it's not about that. Not about you. It's about winning lost souls. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this last passage I'll read, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Not about Cadillacs, but it's about this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, what I said in the Gospels, tell them about that. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Get your focus right. Understand it's not about us four and no more. Understand it's not about the new TV schedule that's going to come out and going to have these new shows and new season. That's not about any of that stuff. It's about sinners who are going to end up in hell if we don't try to warn them. They may still go, I understand, but it's our job to warn them, like Ezekiel chapter 33 mentioned. It's my prayer that my pitiful sermon will get that point across. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. We worship you and praise you, and we endeavor to follow, and we ask that you help our unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.